This is a world of hidden mics and two-way mirrors. A world where nothing is private. Harry Call is an expert. The best there is.
What about me?
He can bug anybody, anytime, anywhere. They're not people to him. Just voices.
Listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I am Charlie in the studio with Cody, Amit, Fred, and Wendy. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you've tuned in for, we hope you dig it.
That's right, Charlie. Our show today is called How to Disappear Completely.
A few decades ago, it used to be relatively easy to preserve some level of anonymity. For example, you could choose not to list your phone number and address in the yellow pages.
Or you could just hide out in your dorm room and skip class. No need to check in on Foursquare, edit status on Facebook, or tweet about it. Just put on some headphones and chill, man.
That is hitting close to home, Fred.
Hey, everybody knows Foursquare is an NSA front.
Charlie, everything is an NSA front.
Oh, my inner Harry Call has been awakened.
Harry Call being the character Gene Hackman played in the film The Conversation.
And most likely enemy of the state.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But names don't match.
If you want to join the conversation, but not to talk about Gene Hackman. No, we're not going to talk about Gene Hackman. The hashtag for this show is Litz426 for Lost in the Stacks, episode 426. Feel free to tweet your thoughts, questions, pros and cons about deleting yourself from the internet with that hashtag. That's a little counter to the point.
We're trying to disappear.
Send us a postcard instead?
Or you could mark an X in chalk on a nearby mailbox. We'll know what it means.
That's it. That's the one. Our songs today are about how we might disappear, how we might not disappear, and what happens next. It's just going to be a melancholy show of loneliness and detachment from other people.
Are you going to play the Smiths or Radiohead?
It's just a melancholy show of loneliness and detachment. So, yes, we're playing Radiohead.
Oh.
It's coming, but not yet.
Okay.
Let's kick off with a song that always reminds me of my inner Harry Call. This is Don't Talk to Me About Gene Hackman by Robin Hitchcock. Right here on Lost in the Stacks. They're just voices, Dan. Don't Talk to Me About Robin Hitchcock. Man. Gene Hackman. He's in every film, sometimes wearing a towel.
Right.
If it's not him. Just once, actually.
You get Andy McDowell.
Well, folks, today on Lost in the Stacks, we're talking about how to disappear completely. And what we mean by that is how to disappear completely from the internet. And why this topic and why now? Well, if you've been paying any attention to the news, this is a hot topic in papers such as the New York Times and the Washington Post. It's also become kind of a public policy platform issue.
Hey, the Washington Post and the New York Times, they have cookies on my machine to track my movements and figure out what news to send me.
And the Washington Post is owned by, what's that company?
The one with the stores.
The mom and pop.
Yeah.
What's that mom and pop?
I'm delighted that those entities are trying to explain to us how best to handle our internet life.
It's because we've searched so much on Google for how to disappear from the internet that they know to surface those news stories.
It's the AI working.
We might be burying the lead here. This is a continuation of the thoughts and anxieties that created our last show, Resisting Gaffam.
That's right. Yeah, the provocative question is, can we resist Gaffam and can we disappear completely from the internet? And I'm not going to spoil the answer. I'll let folks listen in to the rest of the show. But there are some very practical benefits to this conversation, things such as identity theft. Are a major concern for a lot of people. I've had issues with that too, and I think a lot of people have. So what can we do to tidy up a little bit or a lot, and maybe even address this culture of narcissism and be a little self-reflective.
Those are two different things, right?
They are, yes.
Like distinctly
very
different things.
Yeah.
Okay.
So disappearing completely has many implications. We're only going to touch on a few. I'll kick off, though, with the right to be forgotten in the European Union 2016 legislation that internet companies, Google in particular, have to abide by. So if a citizen of the EU has justification to, I don't think they even need to justify like a legitimate claim. They can request to have their information deleted from Google's web server. Google has to abide by that, which is quite progressive.
Yeah, in my view. I'm reminded of Joe Rogan on news radio. You can't take something off the internet. It's like trying to take pee out of a pool. Right? Google is the smallest bit of this, not smallest. Google is just one aspect of being taken off the internet, right?
Yeah. It's lots of copies that are being copied by bots.
Yeah. There's a common misconception that Google has the things that it serves to you somehow, that it owns those, or it's on Google, like their servers have, you know, all these pictures. When Google is an index, right? And those searches are sending you to various web servers all over the place, right? And so the right to be forgotten with Google is not so much the right to be forgotten off the internet, but the right to restrict searches. It's the robots.txt for people, right?
It's the, this is where the completely piece of how to disappear comes into play. Because practically speaking, you can bury things so deeply within the morass of the internet that it's quite challenging to find it.
Yeah.
But it's still there somewhere.
And I think that one of the strategies that some people use to kind of control their internet identity is to get in front of it. You know, to have a website that's their website and present the initial search results, right? To try and get ahead of whatever odd local newspaper story is the one that's been popping up a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. You know, there are these are we're having distinct conversations because part of this is also about what happens behind the scenes inside the black box of GAFAM. So things like ad tracking. So there's your digital self is presented maybe by you or perhaps by others publicly, but then there's a digital self that is cloistered and is used and sold for marketing purposes. And I'm concerned with both. I'm actually more concerned with the latter. It seems like you can control your public persona a little easier.
And I would bring up again the Europeans. And we did a show not that long ago about the GDPR and its impact on sort of this like default opt out, like you have to opt out, like you're defaulted in, that we find a lot in America, and that's it's sort of trying to reverse that. But whether I'm still a little unclear about how enforceable all of that is and sort of how the landscape has shifted, but perhaps we could analyze a little bit of like why these things are taking off in Europe and haven't yet here. Maybe they will here.
And can you talk a little bit about enforceable? Like why? Why do you think it might not be all that enforceable, and how do you imagine enforcing those requirements?
Well, basically, I think consumers have to make a lot of noise about whether companies are complying, or like some sort of regulator or someone who's analyzing companies' data practices. Companies, first of all, have to even know what they're doing with data collection and storage, and that's like difficult. So, but yeah, it's interesting that it seems like those two, GDPR and the right to be forgotten, actions are really sort of aligning around this privacy disappearance.
Like, it's like copyright for your data, really, personal data. You can use that to say, I have a right for you not to collect my personal data, my movements, my internet searches, my use. If you don't proclaim that right, businesses will suck up that data and use it to sell you things and put things in front of your eyes and basically craft an internet experience, which is personalized and convenient and useful. Cody's nodding over here. Like, that's the good stuff about the internet, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm reminded of like a conversation that was had at, you know, a nameless company that I used to work for that Scooby-Doo would call Renteral Rotors. And they had just like poached an exec from another nameless company called Wells Wargo. And the conversation about privacy, there was no privacy. The whole conversation was, people don't believe in privacy anymore. We can do all of these other things. And that was their starting point.
So, meaning privacy is unimportant now to people.
Yes, yes. Yeah, like as the person said, you know, we can determine everything from your financial statements, which is true. And it's part of like, you know, GAFAM is a set of companies, but really it's become like its own business model. Like the idea is that like the main way that you can make money or gather value is by collecting all the data and then finding out what you can do with just the data.
Well, we'll be back with more about just the data and erasing our digital footprints after a music set.
File this set under BF1389.D57W45.
That was Security Risk by Oppenheimer Analysis. Before that was I'd Rather Disappear Than Stay the Same by Dolefish. Songs about why one might want to disappear.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and today we're talking about how and why to disappear completely. And, you know, in the first segment we talked a little bit about the reasons one might want to disappear. How can we actually do that?
Well, what's interesting is you can't.
Full stop.
That's it.
Show's
yes.
Over. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
Roll credits.
So I do think it's telling that you have to opt out of virtually everything that's privacy related. Virtually everything. So by default.
Explain that. Yeah. Some people might not have opt-in, opt-out as like a built-in dichotomy in their head.
Definitely. Oh, so, and I mean, I was surprised at what I didn't realize about my iPhone, for example. So on my iPhone, the default setting when you get it out of the box and you set it up is that it will track your location services are on. Mm-hmm. It will also provide ad tracking to all of the apps that you've downloaded. So if you've downloaded Google or Amazon apps, it's going to be ad tracking. And what's really interesting is on Google, by default, it sends your data to something like 135 advertising companies. Now, they make it relatively straightforward to opt out of all of those 135, but they also make it seem like it's a bad idea to do that. Because if you read the print, when these pop-ups come up saying, are you sure you don't want a personalized
experience?
You've
read the terms of use, first of all. That's something that's not a common thing.
No. So it's very much an opt-out culture of privacy. And yet they're putting ads on TV about how privacy is important, which is cognitive dissonant.
Well, it is. But there's, like you talked on the show last week, how difficult it is to resist the Google, Amazon, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, the GAFAM, how difficult it is to resist that. And it's so difficult. It's because they give us exactly what we want. And it's because of years and years of us, you know, deciding really that, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to give them my data in exchange for Facebook feeding me news stories that align with my political beliefs, or Google Maps working so nicely and getting me where I want to go so easily and knowing exactly how I want to get there. I know I'm talking it up because like I'm addicted to it. Google Maps.
Yeah, I know,
like,
it sounds really good now. I'm thinking maybe this wasn't a good show idea.
And so you're actually inconveniencing yourself by taking yourself out of this equation.
Right. Yeah, like you're removing yourself from the community to a life, as we talked at the beginning, of melancholy loneliness.
Wait a minute. I remember 1993. It wasn't that bad.
Everybody else decided to be on the internet, though. And so if you weren't, you know, by now you're just left out.
Well, now the difference between being on the internet and using services that use the internet is huge, right? The idea that Facebook is the one-stop shop for all of your social networking, all of your image sharing, messaging, connections, right? That was the temptation.
It works because we're all there.
It felt great, right? And like everybody got on and they got this, you know, got the youth first and then grew deeper. So,
I mean, they're also your portal into the internet, right? Like you're either using Safari Chrome or you're using Microsoft Edge, I guess.
Well, but you could use...
Is that a real thing?
I think they actually canceled it not that long ago.
Can you use DuckDuckGo?
Not to get on the internet.
To get on the internet, though, right? Oh, like even to have the choice to say, I'm going to use DogPile.
Yeah.
Tor, yeah, see, there you go. Everyone has to get
everything
on Tor.
Comes back to Linux, Tor, DuckDuckGo.
Why do you scoff, Cody?
At what?
I thought it was at Linux that you scoffed.
I am scoffing at Linux because the more you talk Linux up, it's just going to be bought up by one of them, and then it's going to be, you know, like what is it, GitHub, that was just bought by, I think, one of these
Microsoft.
Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, Microsoft.
Monetized?
Monetized. Yes.
I think maybe it's the U.S. Postal Service should step into this, as Charlie keeps coming back, and I'm feeling like.
Okay.
It's a good argument.
Let's not
email at ups.com.
Let's not redo last week's show. I want to say one of the things that we found out when we looked at how to disappear off the internet completely, that it was mostly people saying, did you know you can deactivate or delete accounts on large services? That article, I believe it was a UK website that said, here's how you delete your Facebook account. Here's how you delete your Twitter account. Here's how you delete your LinkedIn account. And here's how you delete your Instagram account. That was their disappear off the internet completely prescription. And I think we all know that that's just reputational or simply messaging, you know, social connectivity. Behind that is the real deal.
Yeah. This is the digital self that is in the black box that's being sold, bought and sold.
The person made of matrix, you know, floating numbers.
More
right?
Like exactly. People. Like there's multiple versions of this self of yours as they're traded in between these different companies. What you should really be worried about is when they all form together under one company and it's a super digital version of yourself.
Like Voltron.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that does concern me. And it would be interesting to try to buy up my self digitally like that.
Can we do a quick round robin? Who actually thinks of their data as something they own that they are selling or giving away for free? Wendy?
I think I do. I get mad about it. So I guess I think of it that way. And I'm increasingly just interested in just walking away from the internet. But then other people put me on the internet, and I can't control that, especially when it's my employer.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah.
Fred?
Agreed. And in a lot of ways, I do participate because I want that Google account because I love how Maps just like works for me and it knows what I search for and how I like to get to places. But there's just some things you can't control. I've got a picture of myself on the internet because of my employer that I hate, but it's there for anyone to find out what I look like.
Amit?
I agree. I know that I'm being bought and sold. I'm giving away my data for free and I don't like it. And I'm ready to walk away from some things. So I walked away from Facebook and I'm ready to walk away from LinkedIn. Seems kind of useless. No offense to any LinkedIn fans out there.
You mean RinkedIn?
But I can't walk away from Gmail because it's so connected to everything else.
Yes, I guess I do feel like it is mine because I'm only satisfied when there's an actual trade-off. You know,
that's good.
It is when I like if I find out that they're just using my data, like they're tracking my like fingerprint or where the finger is on the screen, but they're not telling me how that helps me, then I feel like they're just taking it. But at the same time, I feel like it's more of like just having like a creepy personal detective on you all the time because it's like they're just watching what I do, you know. But now they're everywhere.
It's the panopticon.
What are you not doing because you might be tracked? From the panopticon metaphor.
I didn't recognize the metaphor.
Okay, well, clearly you went to a different grad school than some of us.
Panopticon is a prison, concept of a prison that was actually built in Illinois. The architecture of this prison is that all of the inmates can be seen by the guards at all times.
From
so
the
they're
central
on the exterior.
Tower.
Yeah, central tower and a circular.
It has shaded glass, so one can never be sure if they're being looked at.
Surveillance as behavior modification through surveillance.
I just have to then quote Bruce Sterling. Afghanistan is the most surveyed place on the globe right now. Do you feel like Microsoft and Google are affecting their behavior, man?
Behavior without consequences, I guess, when there are possibilities of consequence, when they are like connected to the Google and Microsoft economies, like we are here in this country.
Yeah. Otherwise,
I think so. There would probably be behavior modification. Right now, it's just the Westerners stirring stuff up.
We'll return to our lofty and insightful discussion about how to disappear completely.
No hyping.
On the left side of the hour.
This is Jeffrey Schnapp, co-author of The Library Beyond the Book, and you are listening to Lost in the Stacks, WREK Atlanta.
This episode of Lost in the Stacks is How to Disappear Completely. As we discuss strategies and reasons for disappearing our online personas, let's take a moment to consider the implications. This quote from George Orwell's 1984 captures some of that incongruity. Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. Huh. File this set under... Amit, what does this say?
Classification redacted.
That was No Tech by Unwound, and before that was Secret Meeting by The National. Songs about what you need to do in order to disappear.
Welcome back to Lost in the Stacks. Today we're talking about how to disappear completely. Can we talk a little bit about these issues disappearing and sort of the role of the library or how we might see our roles as information professionals regarding disappearance and talking to patrons about disappearance from the internet.
Yeah, after the amen break, Wendy actually said, oh, is this an argument to not delete records? What triggered that in the Orwell quote for you?
Well, it was talking about how history has stopped and in order to have history, you have to not have everyone disappear. And one person's disappearance affects the integrity of the record. And disappearing from Twitter or whatever is not going to, take down the record. But if, for example, the president of the United States disappeared from Twitter, it might mess with the integrity of the system.
Yeah. And if you could go and take down every scan of a newspaper that had your name or address or township in it, you know, or movements. Or if you wanted to destroy the box with the legal depositions in it,
Yeah, this is the argument against the right to be forgotten in the EU is exactly what you're describing. You know, the governments that are part of the EU are generally, adopt good government principles, generally. but that's not always going to be the case. And so there's real concern about how it could be a perverse incentive to delete everything.
I mean, I see a delineation between, you know, I guess what the argument is, private data of yourself being used by other companies, and then also information that is in, which I guess you would call the public domain. You know, like if a newspaper writes an article about you and that article is published, then like the contents of that article is in the interest of the public to be available.
I just read a book on conspiracist thinking. And one of the things that happened to the journalist who wrote it was that someone came up to her after a public association meeting of, I think it was flat earthers. And the person said, "Hi, nice to meet you. You do not have the right to use my name or likeness, and I will sue you if you do." And the reporter said in the book, and I just didn't bother to tell her that's not how it works. You know, like there's a line, a journalistic sort of, you know, exception to this idea that we own our name, own our likeness, you know, especially in a public forum. Oh, is the internet a public forum? Amit?
It seems that way.
Oh, no.
They market it as a public forum.
They.
maybe just Reddit is the public is the public forum. I want to go back to Wendy's point, though. What do libraries do to help people disappear, I suppose, or preserve anonymity, which are two different things? So if I sent a note to our library saying, I want everything deleted about me, I don't know what the answer would be.
Isn't it? It's not the fix. It's the service or the resource. If you want no one to know the things you've looked up, you can just go to the library and look it up and not check it out and walk away. That's private. That's anonymous information retrieval.
If it's a book.
Yeah.
And if it's a library where they have the books right there on the shelf, but yes. Now you've got to request it or you've got to use an ebook. And there's a unique identifier.
There's always a don't have to, though, right? There's always, if you want to be unrecorded, you can be inconvenienced. I keep looking at Fred whenever I think about inconvenience. I'm sorry. I apologize.
What would a Harry Call do? That's what you're...
He'd tear all the wiring out of his apartment walls. And
He would join the Library Freedom Project. No, I just want to mention like a few things that are going on in libraries that address privacy or at least talking to people about privacy. The Library Freedom Project, which we've had on the show before, the Digital Library Federation Technologies of Surveillance Group is really active in talking to patrons about sort of like how they can opt out, especially like not just disappear completely, but like what are the nuances and what are the choices? And then there's something called the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative, which some librarians are getting involved in. So it does seem like there's a lot of activity. I think I got really sad thinking about the show, and so I looked up like what might make me feel better, and that these things did.
And the sadness came from futility or having to think about this subject?
The loneliness of being on the internet and imagining not being on the internet. It's just all wow. Really lonely.
Look, personal anecdotes, right? What do they matter? But I've been real happy about my Facebook use since I deleted my Facebook account. I've been pleased. And I try to stay off Twitter, but I keep going back to it because I use it for these sort of professional profiles. Like we have a Twitter account. At Library Radio. My other podcast has a Twitter account. It's something that I can use to connect. And I would hate for someone to, at one of us and to hear nothing back, you know, to reject that communication. So because it exists, it has to be monitored, right?
Yeah, I mean, the what you said, the whole point of making it in the first place was to connect, right? So I guess because it is like a, it's like an abstract location, that it ends up being something that you have to, as you say, monitor.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, you don't have to monitor it. You're just then not getting the
connection. I don't have to. Right. I don't have to, like I was saying earlier. But I feel obligated because I should just delete it if I don't want to answer it. But if I want to answer it sometimes, I need to answer it all the time. I think that might be the way to go. Or just burn it down. We could just burn it down. Y'all want to do that? You know?
I think if you can put office hours on Twitter, you know, I will yes. I'll reply to your tweets between, you know, 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Tuesday and Thursday.
I think we're unable to square the circle, right? There's things that are important to civilization that are basically tracking and data collection. And they've been extended by the internet and by softwares as services. And people said, oh, I think I know a way to make money off of that. And now it's all intricately linked, like two snakes in love.
It is true. And the fantasy of mass exodus from, let's say, Facebook, I would imagine just another market tool would fill that.
Well,
demand.
You know how you'd have to organize it? On Facebook.
That's right.
Or yeah. With Twitter.
Or postcards. You are listening to Lost in the Stacks. We'll be back after a music break.
File this set in a undisclosed location in a place far away where there is no power and there is no internet.
You know, that's like my favorite era of music where the song never ends, it just fades out. That was Ghost by Ty Segall, and before that was If You Go Away by Neil Diamond. Songs about what happens when we disappear.
Today's show is called How to Disappear Completely. So we've talked mostly about the internet during this show, but I think perhaps we should talk about how to physically disappear. Not completely, but say from a room. Anybody have any hints, tips, strategies, or tricks to disappear gracefully and completely from a room?
I just usually say, oh, excuse me, and then I walk towards the snack table, and then I walk out the door.
That's a good one. I do the, I'm going to get a drink. Would you like someone? I like one, and you have to get someone who doesn't want one. But and they're like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, and then you can leave.
That's a good one.
I wash the dishes, and then I'm out.
Nice. Come on over to my house sometime.
If they do want a drink, Charlie, getting back to you, do you have to like then go and ask somebody else?
Yeah, you got to wait. Yeah. No.
I would probably use I'd probably get out my phone, Google Maps, which way out, and then go.
I was going to say the same thing. I mean, that's like how people just pretend they don't exist in a space is by going to the internet. So I don't want to say I'm guilty of that, but I've probably done it.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by Charlie Bennett.
That's you.
It is me, Wendy Hagenmeyer, and Fred Rasko.
Charlie, that's you.
Hello.
Was our engineer today, and the show was brought to you by the official Code of Georgia Annotated, Section 24-12-30.
Legal counsel and a summary of Melvin V. Reed, 1931. Were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
I wonder what Philip's going to say about that. Special thanks to the privacy advocates among us. No thanks to Gaffam. And thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and plenty of other places we don't know about.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, we discuss presidential libraries. Ooh. Someone actually thought that a creepy animatronic Lyndon Johnson telling jokes was a good idea to put in a library.
Oh. It's time for our last song today, and Charlie, I promised you this was coming.
I really hoped you had forgotten.
No chance. It's time to play the song that inspired the whole episode, or at least the title. Turn on the sadness. Wear your lonely heart on your lonely sleeve, because here comes Radiohead. How to Disappear Completely, right here on Lost in the Stacks. The angst. Have an angsty weekend, everybody.
Gaffum.